Prayer is the art of hole punching the sky so that, as it is in heaven, becomes an earthly reality.
Hi. No crutches this week. For those who weren't here last week. Thank you. It's good coordination, right? I broke a bone in my foot playing basketball, and as I've told the story many times now, I always tell people I made the basket because it gives an ounce of dignity to the whole process. And people have been really free to share their counsel with me, their suggestions for me and my life and my future and my athletic prowess. Far more than I really even want to hear. One particular individual who said, "Do you think maybe God allowed you to break your foot so during this prayer series you might be praying more?" And I thought, that's really bad theology. And yet I find myself praying more, so maybe there's some wisdom to the whole crazy thing. We're in a series on prayer. It's a teaching series. And I'm going to be sitting probably next week as well in the teaching of this series. And I've invited you to bring pens or paper or follow the teaching notes in your program. Open up your Bibles. It's a teaching series. So you want to capture some ideas that might relate to your life to improve the effectiveness of preaching. The series of praying. The series got inspired by the consultant who came to us. And after doing all these focus groups with our church family, said the number one request of your church family is they want you to teach them how to pray. And that was the very request that the disciples had of Jesus, teach us how to pray. I just think there's something innate in us that just feels like we could do a better job praying. And so I'm endeavoring to take upon myself the longest, deepest series in prayer that I've ever been part of in my 27 plus years of ministry. Actually, 30. Wow, 30 years of ministry. And so you can see we're using prepositions, and you can see where we've been. So pray like, we use the Lord's Prayer. So pray with, a dependence on God alone. So pray after God's promises tonight. So pray in Jesus' name. And you can see the other prepositions. So pray along through again, past, against, and for. We're covering a lot of territory. I got really encouraged the last night. A young woman came up after the service, and she's a new believer in Christ. And she's just taking the series in. It's changing her life so powerfully. And she brought up her notes to show me her notes. And she's taking her notes and using them as her prayer guide for the week. And it's really enriched her journey. So I encourage you, capture the ideas that God lays on your heart if you're so inclined. Tonight we're dealing with what I'm trusting will be a game-changing prayer focus. As we're saying, I'm praying through this series that it'll be a game changer, this series, for your life personally and for our church as a whole, as we talk about praying in Jesus' name. And it's an important subject because it seems that a war is brewing over the name of Jesus being used in the public square. We're just a few months away from another presidential inauguration. Yay. That means we'll be past the political season, which I'm always glad to get past the political season. But in every inauguration of every president, there has been a prayer offered by a Christian in Jesus' name from the beginning of the founding of this country. But in the last decade, it has been a firestorm and really a challenge in a culture that's changing. We're becoming more diverse with more religious convictions and many people choosing not to believe in anything. And they feel imposed upon by this kind of praying. And I can expect that come January, mark my words, there will be heated debate, and you'll see it all over in the news concerning the prayer that will be offered for the next president of the United States, as the debate was held for these two presidents over the last decade. Thank you. There you find George W. Bush and our current president, Obama, and Franklin Graham took the place of Billy Graham at George Bush's inauguration to offer the invocation because Billy Graham was ailing. He was not in good health. Already this thing was brewing, and somebody asked if he was going to pray in the name of Jesus, and he said, yes, that's all we've got. I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus, which is what he did. He ignited the controversy during that prayer when he prayed these words. at the conclusion of his prayer, he says, I pray in the name of the Father, of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. And it created this intense firestorm. And within days, a lawsuit was filed against President Bush for Graham's prayer, alleging it was unconstitutional endorsement of religion. That's how things have changed. Pay attention to the changing culture. And then, when President-elect Obama announced that Rick Warren, who's the pastor of Saddleback Church and the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, was being invited to do the invocation, the media elites got a hold of that, saying, well, what's he going to do? Is he going to pray in God's name, or is he going to pray, dare he pray, in the name of Jesus, like Graham did in the previous inauguration? And he prayed in Jesus' name, and it created all kinds of controversy. Can't wait till January to see what happens. Here's the reality. Jesus is hot today. People just get buzzed about the name of Jesus. And it creates a stir in almost every setting. And it begs the question, why do we pray in Jesus' name, amen? Why do we often wrap up our prayers that way? For some Christians, it's just something that you've always done, that you've prayed and from the time you were children. You just concluded and heard parents and grandparents conclude their prayers in Jesus' name. You've just done it in a perfunctory manner, not even mindful of what it might mean. It's just something you do in Jesus' name. Amen. And for others, it's a reminder that the prayer is about to come to an end and it's time to eat. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go on to the next thing, which is the food. Surprisingly, if you read all of the New Testament prayers, you will notice that not one of those prayers ends with the phrase, in Jesus' name, amen. So why do we pray in Jesus' name, amen? Because if you continue to read in the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of John, you will find that in the last discourse before Jesus' suffering and his death on the cross, he teaches an advanced lesson in the school of prayer. And you find that Jesus is doing something really profound, knowing that he is about to die. And he didn't want the disciples then and for us today to miss it. Seven times in that discourse, over three chapters, he directs his disciples to pray using his name. So the reason we pray in the name of Jesus, amen, is because Jesus told us to pray in his name. And therefore, we have done so. And in fact, this was a completely new concept, a new dimension of praying for these praying disciples. These were praying disciples, but they had never before prayed in the name of Jesus until these instructions came. John 16:24, Jesus told them, until now you have asked for nothing in my name, but now ask. So clearly Jesus was impressing upon them the power of prayer that he was placing into their hands and into our hands. And I suppose that's why we have this innate sense that we could do a better job praying more effectively. And we said the number one request is teach us how to pray. So this series is intended to do just that. In fact, we find that the other five expressions or six expressions of Jesus instructing the disciples to pray in his name can be summarized in John's Gospel 14 and the finding of those words in verse 13 and following. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow, now that's a promise. What a powerful promise that the Lord gives us to us there. And at first glance, this appears to support a blank check approach to prayer. That all you have to do is pray in Jesus' name, and you'll get whatever you ask for. But I would suppose that everyone in the room would say, I've prayed for things and have never gotten them before. That's not how we approach prayer. Prayer in Jesus' name is not a magic formula for whatever you want. Prayer in Jesus' name must align with all that that name stands for. And then the promise to give what is asked for will make total sense. So let's unpack it a little bit. And I want to do so by asking the question, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? And I want to use an acronym, A-WAR, which is how I introduce the message. I said to you, a war is brewing over the use of Jesus' name in the public sector. And so I want to take that acronym, AWAR, A-W-A-R, to give a picture of what the name means, with an invitation that you would stand up for and with Jesus, and you would continue to use his name in the public square as he instructed us to do, because there is a war brewing, and you will feel the tension and pull back because of that tension, where people are suggesting that you not use the name of Jesus in the public discourse. Here's their invitation. Now, what does it mean? When you pray in Jesus' name, it's about the first day, access. You're confessing your faith that Jesus Christ is the way to God's ears. It's about his path, not yours. And you might think, well, there's a lot of paths for us to get to God's ears. But this is about what's revealed to us in the scripture, and it's about his path and not your wishful path. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, and the Greek word for confidence here means boldness or freedom. He's saying, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, since we have boldness, since we have freedom to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Let me give you a historical context here. In the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament, we find the experience of worship in the Old Testament temple to include at the temple place a thick curtain that divided the holy place from the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And no one had direct access into the Holy of Holies except for one person, the high priest. Now, there were many priests in the day. You understand that the priest brought comfort and care for people as pastors and priests do today. But there was only one high priest, and only that high priest had access into the Holy of Holies, representing the very presence of God. And then only one time a year on the Day of Atonement. There you get a bit of a picture. Here's what's revealed. At the death of Jesus Christ, the curtain is torn in two, and an opening is made for us to enter into God's presence with freedom and boldness and confidence. So that those who say yes to Jesus Christ in your life and you receive him into your life, you are now united with Jesus Christ. And because you're united with Jesus Christ, you go where Jesus goes. And Jesus goes into the presence of God, the Father. And we get to go with him into that place as well. We have access to God's presence. This is why we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. For it is only by the virtue of what Jesus has accomplished in his death and his resurrection that any of us can directly come into the presence of God. Jesus is the way to the presence of God and to his ears that hear your praying. How important it is to understand. Access comes through him. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and human beings, Christ Jesus. The one who brings you into God's presence is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the encouragement then is for us to continue to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So certainly we could put that at the end, which is something I tried to track down. I can't find the history of where did we start putting in Jesus' name at the end of our prayers. So it almost becomes something we do by rote memory. When in fact, it can go anywhere because it's not told to put it at the end of the prayer. It can go anywhere. And I would think that maybe the wiser place to put it is at the beginning, where we get to remind God that we're coming in the name of Jesus in order to have access to him. So Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name. I'm not coming in my own name. I'm coming in Jesus' name. It's a good reminder that we get access. Secondly, I think to pray in Jesus' name, and here's the W, is about wisdom. That is, you're submitting to your will, to his will, because he knows what's best for your life. It's not about your will, it's about his will. We're simply praying like Jesus did, often and regularly. And probably the greatest example of that is the one that you recall just shortly after this promise that is given in John 14, where Jesus is in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember what he does there. He on bended knee in a spirit of prayer. An agony about the suffering that's to come to him says, oh, Father, is there any way this cup of suffering can be taken from me? Three times he prays. Is there any way this cup of suffering could be taken from me? Three times God the Father answers him, no. And three times He responds to God the Father saying, not my will, your will be done. And so if Jesus had to pray this way, submitting his will to the Father's will, how much more do we do so? And I think there's a truth in the example of Jesus that sometimes it's hard to embrace what Jesus wants for us and what God the Father wants for us. We have our idea of what we want, and we want God to give to us, but he has sometimes a different idea, and we see that in the example of Jesus. So sometimes our prayers are like the little children who rush to see their daddy and say, Daddy, can I have this? Can I? How many of you have had children who've done that kind of request? Just raise your hands. Hey, I'm not alone in that, right? My kids aren't that selfish alone. All of us have. And all of us are selfish children, right? We have our own deal. And as an adult man, I see how I do this. I just believe sometimes that I know more than God what is needed for my family. And what is needed for my job. And what is needed for my life. And I'm reminded here that God is the one who knows, not me. And when I come into a place of prayer, I'm suspending and I'm submitting those things that make me want things that he does not even want for me, so that I can align my life with his and pray accordingly. To pray in Jesus' name means praying his will be done rather than your will be done, which equals then a wisdom that flows from heaven to earth through you. And wisdom is really a very simple concept. We're told that wisdom comes from God. And when you ask for wisdom, he is glad to give you wisdom. And wisdom is simply the ability to know what to do, or where to go, or how to be, or what to say in a conversation. That wisdom comes from God when we ask him for it. So after pouring our hearts out to God in prayer, we should say, Lord Jesus, I want what you want. When we're praying in your name, Jesus, amen. Or in Jesus' name, amen. That's what we're saying. I want what you want. In fact, maybe a good discipline this week is if you're praying, write down some of your prayers and actually write down the statement, I want, Jesus, what you want for me. Because then you're aligning yourself with his will. When we pray that way, we can ask whatever we want. And because we're submissive to his will, we can be sure that our prayers will be answered every time. On the other hand, if you're saying, Lord Jesus, this is what I want. I really don't care what you want from me. This is what I want. I think I would suggest that you not pray. It ain't coming your way. So we pray in Jesus' name because we get access to God the Father in his presence and his ears through Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name because we get wisdom that helps us to live our life in his way and according to his will. And third, we find authority. You're acknowledging that his name is the supreme name in the universe, that it's about his power, not mine. Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How important is Jesus' name? It's so very important. By virtue of the risenness of Jesus the Christ, that is, by the virtue of his resurrection from the dead, by the virtue of his ascension into heaven, he is exalted to be in the highest place, the name that is above every name. He has the greatest name in the universe. So every time you get that check back because of a little shame as to whether or not you want to share that you're a Christian or you know Jesus personally, be mindful that his name is the most precious, treasured, important name in all of the universe. And that's what Paul discovered. You know, when he was out persecuting Christians, he hated the name of Jesus the Christ. And then God knocks him down, breaks him of his own blindness and his sinfulness, and reveals the beauty of the Savior, Jesus the Christ. And his life is undone, and he becomes the missionary that brings the gospel to the Gentiles so that we could be here 2,000 years later, because Paul did the will of God so we could come here and worship. We wouldn't even know each other. We're coming because of his abiding and his obedience. And it was Paul who reminded us in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ, because he is the power of salvation for all who believe. And so Jesus' name is so important. He's number one. There is no number two. It's not as if Jesus is at the top of the heap and everyone else is at the bottom. He stands alone. He's in a category unto himself. His name is the greatest name of all. His name represents supreme authority. Amen? Amen. Thank you. I know it's a long day, but oh, friends, we know personally the greatest name in all the universe. That's to be treasured and enjoyed and to be celebrated in our lives. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord means master. And master means authority. That he is the authoritative voice for my life, for my faith, for my practice. He is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus means Savior. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ means the anointed one sent by God for you. Oh, be humbled. Be in awe of what God has done for us. We're praying with the authority of God through faith in Christ on our side. We're not acting in our own name and our own authority, but in his. I don't know if you're familiar with Tony Evans. Tony Evans is he's a theologian. He's a pastor. He's a radio personality. He's an author. He's just a very accomplished spiritual leader. I've been reading his material for probably 25 years. He resides in Texas. He received an invitation to give a prayer at the Texas State Legislature in Austin, Texas. And just before he went to pray, one of the facilitators asked if he wouldn't mind not including the name of Jesus in his prayer. This is right before he's going up to pray. And Evans pointed out to this facilitator that he was about to ask God to do specific things through this legislative session and for the benefit of the state of Texas. And then he went on to say, who's going to answer that prayer if I don't pray in Jesus' name? He's the only one with the power to do what I'm about to ask. In other words, he's saying, well, why even pray at all? So he offered the prayer in respect for the diversity of the audience there, but saying in our Christian tradition, I'm praying in the name of Jesus, because that was the only hope he had that any of the things he was going to ask for would come to fruition in the state. And he prayed that way. So we get access. We receive wisdom. There's an authority far greater than what we could ever bring to the table. And finally, it's about his reputation. You're asking that God's reputation be increased through your life and through your praying. What a picture this is. Because it's about his worth, not mine. It's about his fame, not mine. It's about his name, not mine. I'm going to give you a practical challenge in the course of this week and the request, since we're trying to grow our prayer lives together, and I'm doing that. I'm actually writing my prayers down to help me. Many of them I'm writing down and to stretch my own faith journey. What a practical filter this is for praying. Is what I'm praying for going to increase the reputation of God the Father? Is it going to glorify his name? In John 14:13, it says quite clearly, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The purpose of all of our prayers should bring glory to the Father. This is why Jesus came to earth. The night before he was to die, 24 hours before his death, Jesus prayed this way, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Jesus came to earth to glorify God through a life of obedience according to the will of the Father for his journey. Through a sacrifice that would cover your sin and my sin. Through his death. And through the resurrection that would give hope for all of us who believe in him in a life today and for all eternity. So to glorify God means many things, but I like most the idea that it means to increase God's reputation in your backyard or around the world. We get to do that. To make God look good is the call for our lives. Let that be a filter for your praying. Is what I'm praying for have an end result of making God look good? And I'm wondering if we could eliminate maybe 60% of our prayers. Because oftentimes they're about making our lives look good rather than the intention of making God look good. Now, we don't need to help God look good, first of all, in the sense that God looks as good as you could ever have God look. But God has chosen us to be the means to increase his reputation, to make his name known. What a mindful strategy that is for us to keep before us, that effective praying means glorifying God, asking for things that make God look good. Do you? Because if you do, then you can rest easy, knowing that the details of your life that consume your life will be taken care of by the Heavenly Father. Use that filter this week. Is what I'm praying for, God, is the motivation to make you look good? And can I give you a personal challenge here? That as Christ followers, we get to make God look good in our homes, in the manner in which we relate to our spouse or to our children or to our friends. We get to make God look good in the workplace, in the matter of our speech and treatment of others. We get to make God look good in our neighborhoods and how we treat each other in the neighborhood, how we care for our homes. And by using the name of Jesus, when we do it wisely and carefully and prayerfully, we're speaking to the inclination of the heart of every little boy, girl, and grown man and woman to want to know that God is indeed real. And he uses our prayers to that end. Suppose that I go to a local bank and I ask for $5 million in small bills and 3 medium-sized suitcases, please. I'm a member of the Community Bank of Chanhassen. Small bank. But I can imagine what the teller would do when I came with that request. First of all, they would look at my account and then they would laugh. Because they go, "Why are you kidding? I don't have $5 million or anything close to $5 million. And secondly, they'd usher me to the door. And maybe it'd be wise for me to find another bank to go to. But say the next day, I go to the bank and I have a check in hand made out to Joel K. Johnson, signed by Bill Gates, the second wealthiest individual in the world. The first is from Mexico, but you won't recognize his name, so I'm going to use Bill Gates. And I go with this check from Bill Gates and I go to the teller. And at first, they're probably going to laugh. But as they do an inquiry to find out if it's genuine and approved, and once they know it's approved, they'll honor the request. Because Bill Gates is a billionaire. And he has the resources to honor the check that was given to me. If I go to the bank in my own name, I'll be turned away. But if I go to the bank with Bill Gates' signature, they'll pay attention. And they'll honor the request. And I think it's the same in praying. If I go to God in my name, I will be turned away. But if I go to God with the signature of Jesus upon my prayer in Jesus' name, and when he sees that that prayer is approved by the Son, he'll honor the request of the Son because he wants what the Son wants for us as we align our lives for him. And what does the Son, Jesus the Christ, want for you? I wish I could tell you the prescriptive detail of your lives, the person you should marry, the job you should have, the decisions you should make in the course of a week. I don't have that kind of insight, but I can tell you declaratively. I can point to the scriptures to tell you what Jesus Christ wants for you, what God the Father wants for you. He wants for you to be saved. He wants for you to say yes to Jesus, his Son, as our Savior. To welcome into your life and to live according to his ways. I can declaratively point to you many scriptures that say he wants for you to be sanctified, which is to grow in the likeness of Christ so that his way and his will becomes your way and your desire. I can declaratively point to you in scriptures that his will for your life, what he wants for you, is to serve other people. Jesus said, "I came not to be served, but to serve." And for every Christ follower, we are marked with that other-centeredness to care for people that otherwise people wouldn't care for. It's a mark of his presence in our life. And I can tell you declaratively that God wants for us to share the name of Jesus the Christ with our family, with our colleagues, in our neighborhoods, in our sphere of influence. And when we do, and we bring prayer requests that align with those specific declarative statements from his word alone, he honors those requests. And he uses them to expand the kingdom of heaven on earth through you. How cool is that? So we pray in Jesus' name so that we can have access to God because it's about his path, not mine. And we pray in Jesus' name because we get wisdom, which is about his understanding, not mine. And when we pray in Jesus' name,
We have an authority that we don't have in and of ourselves. It's about His power, not mine. And when I pray in Jesus' name, I get the opportunity to increase the reputation of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, to make Him look good. And we pray according to His name, and those blessings will flow into our lives. And that's why we're gifted to come to this table, to receive the bread and to the cup. And I suppose the question at hand is, have you said yes to Jesus? Before you let the bread and the cup come to your lips, that's the most important question you have to ask. And so if you have been wayward or distant from God, maybe saying later, not yet, I don't have time for Jesus in my life now, I pray that the Lord would just tug on your heart even now. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, I would say in this moment of prayer, say yes to Him and then come. Receive the bread, which is a symbol of His presence, and receive the cup, which is a symbol of His blood shed for you to cover your sin so that you can have access and wisdom and His authority to the end that you can increase His reputation. And there is no greater happiness in life than being aligned with Him. So join me before we come to the table and let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the clarity of Your wisdom that is revealed to us in Jesus the Christ. That in His coming and in His dying and in His rising again, He has given us direct access as the priestly mediator, the only one who can usher us into Your very presence. Even now, we know that You are with us. And we get to come to this table as He instructed us to do, to never forget until He comes again the amazing love that has come to us through the cross and through His resurrection. So for us who are aligned with You and wanting what You want for us, we come to this table confessing our gratitude, our thankfulness, our awe and our humility for the gift given. And Lord, I can only assume that there are dozens in this room right now who have been distant from You, not walking with You. And I pray by the presence and the power of Your Holy Spirit alone, who mediates the very person of Jesus, who whispers into our ears, come to Me, follow Me, that those in that place would take this moment to say, I want to follow You. I confess to You my sin. I give to You my life. I want Your way to be my way, Your will to be my will. If that be your prayer, just offer it to the Lord before You come. Surrender, submit your life to the name that is the greatest name in all the universe that brings you hope and healing, salvation and joy this day. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.